I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing
conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, November 27th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a holiday ride at this point. It's wild and dystopic. We won't talk about that. If you want to know how wild and dystopic, just go to globalresearch.ca, for example, and look at some of the news items in rotation. You can always go to republicbroadcasting.org also, and same thing. But we're not doing that today. This is the Monday after Thanksgiving, after the long hiatus, at least for us. And so last Thursday, Thanksgiving, November 23rd, we took a break, and that break continued on the network through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the way until today. And so we're back live today, and that's fun. So let's dive in. First, some announcements, and then my special guest. So as you have heard, undoubtedly, we have big schedule changes coming in December, and that will begin the first Monday in December. That's just a week away, which sounds crazy, but it is what it is. So check the website for details, republicbroadcasting.org, and stay tuned for big schedule changes. We're in the middle of the second annual John Stadmiller book drive. See the RBN post for details. Again, republicbroadcasting.org. And in simple terms, make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win a fabulous book. Entrants who do not win will be added to subsequent week's drawings. And this week, we skipped a week because of the break. This is week three. And this is what is being referred to as the Super Package, Week 3, Stadmiller Book Drive Super Package. And so offering exceptional material from the John Stadmiller RBN Library. The drawing date has been changed from November 30th to December 3rd. That's the Sundays like we've been doing. And during Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins after 7 p.m. Central. And so week one was Victor Ostrovsky's By Way of Deception. Week two was Milan Martin's Lucifer's Children, The Kingdomless Kings of the New World Order. And this week, the super package includes two copies of the Bill of Rights Handbook, three copies of the Citizens Rule Book, Year of the Rat, How Bill Clinton Compromised U.S. Security for Chinese Cash by Edward Timberlake and William C. Triplett II. The Ron Paul Uprising DVD. They own it all, including You by Means of Toxic Currency by regular RBN guest and co-host Ronald McDonald. And The New World Order Defeated by Grambo Prophet. And so, I mean, that's a ton of stuff. But wait, there's more. Plus, bonus t-shirt, bumper sticker, and RBN coffee mug. That's pretty awesome. So, I mean, man, that's a fantastic deal. Call 800-724-2719, extension 3. And leave a message speaking clearly with phone number and or email. Or speak with Mike, Julie, Sam, or Frank, and let us know that you want to enter the drawing. That's it. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. So this week is the super package, and it's pretty super. I think that's it for now. And so let me get to my special guest. First thing this morning, I said last week, 1 week ago today, Monday, November 20th, that we would probably be doing a series of Mondays with Mom, or do we call them Mondays with Mitzi? I don't know. Whatever the case, this is the second Monday after last week's inaugural event, last week's maiden voyage. So I'm welcoming back my special guest, my mom, Mitzi. Mitzi, welcome back. How the hell are you this morning?
Good morning, Christopher. Good morning. Just fine. How the hell are you?
I am fabulous.
I'm so happy to be back again. Thank you for having me on one more time.
You're welcome. Good morning. So there were some things that we sort of left on the table last week we didn't get to. And then there's some other things that we were going to talk about today. We talked about taking calls last week. You said you didn't mind doing that. We can open the phone lines, I guess. Local is 512-248-8252. And toll free, if you must, is 800-313-9443. So this morning, we can start with your topics: Thanksgiving, Small Business Saturday, conversations with seasoned citizens, lightly seasoned, and so there are three conversation heads. Where should we begin?
Well, I think Thanksgiving, and I believe that conversations with seasoned citizens segues right into Thanksgiving. And that is because, first of all, Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday because it's not a gift-giving holiday. It is just a, hopefully for most people, a social holiday. And for my part, my Thanksgivings keep getting better and better. And
did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Chris. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you know, and to really segue right into the conversation thing. I've been studying a little bit more about having conversations and delving into, rather than always ask what, sometimes we need to ask why, or we need to ask a little bit more, a little bit deeper questions. And I really focused a little bit more on that this Thanksgiving and tried to have, specific conversations with different people that I had an opportunity to. And it was absolutely lovely. And yesterday also I attended a birthday party for one of my grandsons, and I had an opportunity to have nearly a two-hour conversation with an 18-year-old relative on investing your money. And it was absolutely fascinating. And there's all kinds of things going on around you and all sorts of group conversations and different conversations, both at Thanksgiving and at the birthday party. But I really tried to hone in and focus when I was with a person or two people and getting into those deeper conversations. And I must say, I don't know for the other people, but for me, it was wonderful. And so, kind of like the segue thing, I have a lot of situations where I have things from people that have passed away that I know what, but I don't know why, and so I kind of encourage us to ask more whys and dig a little deeper in our conversations. And I think that really was one of the highlights for me of my Thanksgiving. How about you?
Well, this time of year is interesting. I think you can relate to that. It's Dickens, the best of times, the worst of times. It's easy, I think, this time of year to become morbidly self-obsessed and just get caught up in your own head. There are so many things, I think over the years, over the decades and generations, certain expectations have been created. And even though that keeps changing, we tell ourselves certain things and, we expect certain things of ourselves. We think that certain people, family, for example, and loved ones expect certain things from us or of us. And I think it's easy to get caught up in that. And I think this time of year really sneaks up on most people. And so I think it's easy to become overwhelmed by that. And then there's, the other stuff that's been going on for quite some time now, and things are, we're encouraged to pretend. I thought it was interesting. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary word of the year this year, do you know what it is?
No.
I think it's authentic.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm just going to double check that. And let me double check that.
Seth Godin is not a big fan of using that word.
Yeah, I think it's overused for sure. Yep, it's authentic this year.
Who decides, Chris? Who decides?
Yeah, who's in charge? Who decides? The publishing company defines the adjective as true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. So I guess we all decide for ourselves. Silly Sibin. which is a reference to solipsism. That's the That's the Mitzi way to remember solipsism. Psilocybin. Not to be confused with the Harvard psilocybin project, which is what I think of when I hear that. But so solipsism, you know, says I can only know that my mind exists, and therefore, you know, I must be the only one that exists. Everyone else is a non-player character. And so authentic, according to Merriam-Webster, is true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. And I'm taking a little bit of liberty. Anyway, I just think this is an interesting, I definitely think it's a cliche term. You know, you said Seth Godin doesn't like it. I don't. I think it's overused and it's a cliche, but that, all of that notwithstanding, I think that we are encouraged to ignore the uncomfortable reality of how our society functions in a variety of ways. It's very dysfunctional, and we're not supposed to talk about that. And so that, you know, that just adds to what I said, you know, in addition to all of those other things that come along in tow with this time of year. I think it's a wonderful time of year. I want to reboot my Christmas, my holiday movie list from last year. But I mean, this is a deeper subject for me. You know, it's, for example, I think of Arnold J. Toynbee writing in his Study of Civilization that you can alter society by changing language, and the conversion of the term holy day to holiday is an example of that. The secularization of society is one of the things that Toynbee talked about, and the breakout society of a, you know, from a Christian society to a secular society. Toynbee talked about that. And so I think those kinds of things come to my mind. Anyway, to get to the answer, I think this Thanksgiving was great. You know, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but I think that, you know, again, it's interesting how much baggage I think we all kind of bring. And especially when you're talking about, you know, family and loved ones that you don't see for most of the year, maybe all of the year, and then, you know, we all get together in small places, and we still have our idiosyncratic proclivities more than ever, perhaps, speaking of Merriam-Webster and authentic solipsism. You put that all in a room together and compress it, and it can be a volatile mix. I think that's the cliche of history. We all have dysfunctional family gatherings we joke about over the years and generations. But if we can set some of that aside, and like you said, you know, try to genuinely, another word that's overused, cliche, connect with other people, that's where the magic happens. And I think that your parents' generation did that exceptionally well. And I was thinking before we started, one of their magical gifts was the gift of small talk. They could talk about the weather and little things that didn't matter in very disarming sorts of ways. They were masterful at it, made it look easy. And it was sort of a gateway to other things conversationally.
That is true.
But I think they had rules of the road that were largely unspoken. And I think, you know, forgetting that, being encouraged to move in a different direction, how highly politicized things are these days and those kinds of things, again, really bear heavily on the art of small talk and related conversational aspects, at least in my humble opinion. Anyway, I think my Thanksgiving was good.
Well, I just have to add a little note of levity to this whole situation. So, I'm anxious to hear what your listeners think about this whole subject. But I get discombobulated totally over the menu. I don't know about the folks out there, but we have people in our family that are carnivores. We have vegetarians. We have highly organic people. We have keto people. And this year I made a vow that I will never, ever, ever again make my pumpkin pies from a new organic recipe, or my stuffing for the bird, or dressing as some people call it. So I now, I'm on a quest to be old fashioned again. Anyway, that enough said. I ruined pies. I was not thrilled with my stuffing. And so next year it'll be take it or leave it. It's like, you know, it's not Burger King. You're going to have it my way, or you're going to have to make your own, because I was so deflated by my attempts at making things that weren't natural to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of holiday gatherings these days. The menu is very interesting. And you know, I think that hints back at other conversation heads from our inaugural broadcast. Buying, you know, all things local and made in America, you said, which is somewhat redundant, but you know, we've talked about it before. I've mentioned it on this broadcast. I think that Mary Jane Butters was right when she said, why do I have to call mine a carrot? When, you know, if they, I just plant a carrot and they make theirs with 50 petrochemicals, why don't they have to call theirs a petro carrot?
Right.
And right. So all of these funny names for things, I think, it's interesting, again, how, you know, and that's one of the things we're not supposed to talk about, is the way that language is being adulterated to manipulate people. When you call it organic, it makes it sound like it's something strange. If it's just a carrot, then it should be called a carrot. The other thing that's adulterated should be called something else.
Well, and I don't put people down. I mean, I think everybody has systems and diets and whatever you want to call it that work for them, and I appreciate that. But when you take what you normally do that works for you and you try and make it something it isn't, so it's not authentic to your, you know, your traditions sort of a thing, then it just comes out bad. And so anyway, I learned a little lesson there that I will not do again at Christmas or next year or in between. So there's just some things you can't mess with.
Well, again, I think, you know, there's this subject matter dovetails. And last week you also said, you know, how do we get more respect as older generations from younger generations? I suspect this is related to conversations with seasoned citizens. And so, you know, another thing that we're not supposed to talk about in polite conversation or society or at family gatherings is the strange way that our society has shifted from, you know, you shared recently the I don't know where that is, but the thing from apparently from Chief Dan George, and
yes.
If folks have seen the outlaw Josie Wales, you know who Chief Dan George is. I think I mentioned him last week, in fact. You know, he's the guy who says in the outlaw Josie Wales, when the white man came, we had the land and they had the Bibles. Now we have the Bibles and they have the land. So he has this, it says this is written by Chief Dan George. In the course of my lifetime, I have lived in two distinct cultures. I was born into a culture that lived in communal houses. And I haven't vetted this, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this is, you know, something that he wrote. My grandfather's house was 80 feet long. It was called a smokehouse, and it stood down by the beach along the inlet. All my grandfather's sons and their families lived in this dwelling. Their sleeping apartments were separated by blankets made of bulrush weeds. But one open fire in the middle served the cooking needs of all. In houses like these throughout the tribe, people learned to live with one another, learned to respect the rights of one another, and children shared the thoughts of the adult world and found themselves surrounded by aunts and uncles and cousins who loved them and did not threaten them. And if I skip forward, this then was the culture I was born into. For some years, the only culture I really knew or tasted. And then skipping forward, I see people living in smokehouses hundreds of times bigger than the one I knew, but the people in one apartment do not even know the people in the next and care less about them. It is also difficult for me to understand the deep hate that exists among people. It's hard to understand a culture that justifies the killing of millions in past wars. And it is at this very moment preparing bombs to kill even greater numbers. And, you know, we've, you know, on this network, on this broadcast, we've talked about the development of mechanized warfare and other things. Not to get too far afield, but Dr. James Giordano has a talk that's published over at the Modern War Institute, titled, and this was already 5 years ago, back in 2018, Dr. James Giordano, The Brain is the Battlefield of the Future. So that's fun. Anyway, I believe that these words are attributed to Chief Dan George. I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't know for sure. But point is, in those times, you know, in and still in some places in the world, the cultural norm is that young people listen to and hold in high regard the elders, especially those in their own family, because, you know, they have some life experience, they know things. And so my point was, one of the things we're not supposed to talk about is how strange it is, how bizarre, that we would believe a Bernaysian marketing message from somewhere that has no relation to us personally, that has just sought to sort of spy on us in a way to know us better than maybe we know ourselves, because buyers are liars, and to whisper to us in a way that appeals, so that we will hear that and value it above those who actually do know us. And in this case, you know, the seasoned citizens who've been around.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I guess we're on a break. Stick around, folks.
Real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
All right, so speaking of strange things that we're not supposed to talk about at these family gatherings, that also makes it difficult. You know, young people are encouraged not to listen to their elders. They're the people in their own family who obviously care more about them than Bernaysian marketing channels ever could. And so strange things happen. You know, young people get together and say, you know, this, that, and the other thing, or authoritatively because they heard it from somewhere, which curiously reminds me of what Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. You can ask these young people, well, how do you know that's so? And they can't probably tell you. They can't chapter and verse where that came from. However, someone like you, for example, may have life experience that not just contradicts that, but proves that that assertion false. And it's just funny how these things are happening. You know, we're being encouraged increasingly not to listen to the people who actually care about us. And that, I think, does weird psychological things. It does things to the person, the young person who is, you know, and you know, speaking of Bertrand Russell and the impact of science on society, he talked about mass psychology and how education is one of the most influential modern methods of propaganda, and that social psychologists of the future will have a number of classes of school children on whom they will try different methods of producing an unshakable conviction that snow is black. He mentioned Anaxagoras maintained that snow is black, and that was sort of the basis of that assertion. And so in school, you know, he said various results will soon be arrived at. First, that the influence of home is obstructive. Seems like that box has been checked. Second, that not much can be done unless indoctrination begins before the age of 10. I think that box has been checked. Everybody wants to get their children into kindergarten or preschool, you know, by age womb, basically, it seems these days. Third, that verses set to music and repeatedly intoned are very effective. That, I think, we can say is check. Pop culture revolves around that. Theodore Adorno and the cultural Marxists would have much to say about that as well. And Bertrand Russell wrote, fourth, that the opinion that snow is white and how must be held to show a morbid taste for eccentricity. I think we could say check, too. That's kind of my point here, that, you know, anybody who says anything contrary to whatever the current narrative is must be morbidly eccentric, even though these, you know, the younger people and people in general really these days don't know how, again, as Bertrand Russell wrote, their convictions were generated. And, you know, here's an interesting little exercise to sort of validate the point. Hopefully the point makes sense. And I'm trying to tiptoe, you know, in this and not, you know, be, you know, I'm not trying to punch anybody in the forehead or anything, but if you do a search, anybody can, you know, go to your favorite search engine with autocomplete, you know, suggestions, type organic is and see what you get. I bet one of the first, if not the first, autocomplete suggestions that you get is organic is a marketing scam. There are all kinds of articles that accompany that search. You know, and a related search is organic food is a scam, which is also an autocomplete suggestion. There's the New Yorker magazine article from 2021, same time of You're the Great Organic Food Fraud. How about the Hoover Institution, you know, the conspiracy blog, the Hoover Institution over at Stanford, the organic food hoax. The industry thrives by making fraudulent claims about the foods we eat. And, you know, there are countless other examples of this kind of stuff. And if we go back and we look at, you know, the great American breakfast, bacon and eggs, that was a Bernaysian marketing scheme. And so many other things have been just that. In the book Propaganda, Edward Bernays gives the example of the piano and says the old model is, please, sir or ma'am, buy my piano. The new model is you engineer a cultural phenomenon such that people say, please, sir, sell me a piano. And so if you understand that, you have to look at some of these things. And, you know, if you're familiar with Edward Bernays' work, you know that certain industries and companies said, hey, we have this, you know, we have a glut of this stuff. And so how do we get rid of it? How do we sell this? You know, and a lot of times it's a waste product. I won't get into specifics because, again, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that right now. But Bernays was sort of the kingpin of taking these waste products and things that were in massive surplus and engineering a campaign that had people stampeding toward this thing. And when I think of all of these dietary fads and crazes, I can't help thinking Bernays. What do you think?
I'm practicing my my politeness by being on mute when I need to, because I'm trying to learn how to be a good guest.
You're not Wim Hofing on mute, right? Wim Hof.
I'm not Wim Hofing on you or having another angel get their wings either.
A Jack Lemmon, Odd Couple. You know, I have to clear my sinuses.
Well, it's also true, and it's so subtly done that you can't convince people that they're being Bernays'd, and it's a pretty interesting phenomena to watch when you're somewhat aware of what is going on. But you know, I think what we all need to do, what I need to do, I don't talk for anybody else, but what I need to do is see what I can do to override it, basically. And, you know, I have friends and acquaintances that, you know, they say that their children don't want to be around them or their grandchildren don't come around. And I feel very bad for them. But sometimes, I mean, we kind of come from a generation where you're supposed to go see your parents or grandparents and take care of them. But that's not true anymore, and it's true. It's not true exactly what you say, why you say it's not true, because they're being trained to think differently now. But I think we can counteract that a little bit. You know, I think we can reach out more and we can ask more questions.
there are other passages that correspond to that. It's biblical. So it's just interesting to see how things are changing, and we're encouraged to believe that we're so much smarter and sophisticated and intelligent and intellectual and cosmopolitan, and yet we're not. And if it, you know, the irony is, if we could go back, if young people could look back, I mean, I always think it's interesting, just go back and read the Federalist Papers. And if you can, you know, if we're so much better and smarter now, then go back and read some of those letters or the correspondence, you know, between guys like Jefferson and Madison or whatever. And if you can make heads or tails of it, maybe you are smarter. But I dare say most probably will have some difficulty, because we just, our attention span has been whittled away, and we've been led to believe things that just simply aren't true.
Yep.
We should be listening to our elders.
Well, it's because a lot of us have walked a mile, many miles, in other people's moccasins, like we were talking about last week. And we could save, you know, we could save people a lot of time and grief and maybe even a little money if we did get listened to. But sometimes, just like my mother and father did for me, you know, we just have to sit by and watch in silence as our loved ones go through the trenches that they need to go through. So, but we're there. We're right there when they're ready to listen or bounce a couple of things off of us. But I don't think that's a new thing. I mean, I think it's pretty generational, don't you?
I do, but you know, when we first started having this conversation, we're headed into a break, so I probably have to finish this on the other side of the break, and we have a call we need to get to. But I said, you know, in my humble estimation, your generation was the first that was really singled out and attacked in a coordinated, systematic sort of fashion in the counterculture revolutionary impulse in so many ways. It was the drugs. It was the authors. I think there's a post actually over at Global Research about the authors. Speaking of that, and so many of the authors of your generation were co-opted specifically for that purpose, to give, you know, your generation a counterculture message that basically said your parents are square and they don't know what they're talking about. So why would you listen to them?
Yep, that is true.
And that was a very systematic.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it.
My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but
I should add, I keep thinking about it, haven't said it. The bumps are not appropriate for today's broadcast, whether after Thanksgiving, you know, into the full swing of the holiday season, and especially because of my special guest today. The bumps should be changed, but we're having some technical issues that persist from last week, actually. And so because of that, we're not doing custom stuff. And we apparently cut out a little bit ago, lost the internet. And that's, you know, maybe we're saying stuff that's important because that happened last week, Mom.
Interesting. I remember that.
Yeah. So we lost like 25 minutes of the last hour of last week's broadcast, the inaugural edition of Mondays with Mitzi or Mondays with Mom. So.
Maybe the internet is allergic to seasoned citizens.
Or, you know, sense and sensibility or something.
That too.
So, just to finish the thought, the article, I think this is the article I was thinking about. There's an article over at Global Research that's actually, it's an Edward Curtin article, Edward J. Curtin Jr., that you can find over at his website too, edwardcurtin.com, titled Opening the CIA's Can of Worms. And it's a pretty good article on the stuff that I'm talking about. And just from it, we'll go to the phones in the second hour. That's a thing that we can do. But just, you know, to finish this thought, he writes, the CIA and the media are part of the same criminal conspiracy, wrote Douglas Valentine in his important book, The CIA as Organized Crime. This is true, Curtin writes. The corporate mainstream media are stenographers for the national security state's ongoing psychological operations aimed at the American people, just as they have done the same for an international audience. We have long been subjected to this information warfare, quote-unquote, whose purpose is to win the hearts and minds of the American people and pacify them into victims of their own complicity, just as it was practiced long ago by the CIA in Vietnam and by the New York Times, CBS, etc., on the American people. Then over the years, as the American warfare state waged endless wars, coups, false flag operations, and assassinations at home and abroad. This, again, you know, and so he gives examples. Fletcher Prouty's The Secret Team, Francis Stoner Saunders' The Cultural Cold War, and Joel Whitney's Finks. Anyway, it's an interesting article, and it's interesting this stuff goes on. This is, I think, one of those other things we're not supposed to talk about that's happening out in plain sight, but that's usually the subject of other broadcasts. We'll sort of bring it back into proper orbit in the second hour, which is coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest.
My name is John.
My mom.
I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.